Welcome to the SDG podcast number 54. Here we speak about science, technology, gaming and other stuff. And today again, like last week, I'm left alone doing this podcast. Johanna is quite sick, so I'm gonna have to do this alone. And I was thinking that since, I don't know, last week worked for me, hopefully people like the episode. We never get much messages on Twitter at SDG_podcast. Come there, give us some feedback so we actually know what people are interested to listen, since at the end it's you listening to me talking. If you want that to be better, just let us know. And we got some 20 plus listens, so I guess people cared about, or they just started and never finished the episode. That might be also possible. And at the same time, I'm trying now to stream the episode on a Mixer while doing this. Probably nobody's gonna join there, but anyway, we have, or I have, again the same idea as on the other time. I took some of the news from this European funded projects. This is mostly because, I personally interested in the research in general, and since I live in Europe, it's mostly what interests me is the research that is done in Europe, because directly affect my, well, work and what possibilities there are then to career future in the research living in Europe. Also, the project I was working on, and I'm still working on for my PhD work, is funded by the European Union, so, you know, there is a direct involvement for me into this. And maybe we could, if this is interesting, again, we need some feedback, we could do this maybe every month or something, have a special episode where we get the month, the month news and talk about some of those, depending on what we find interesting. And this time I'm always basing on the research.eu magazine. Again, if you are interested, you can order that at home for free if you live in the European Union. And that's quite nice. It makes easy to understand the report of what's going on in the research in Europe. And it varies completely from medical sector to some policies, science, technology, transport, energy. It's really varied, so there is something for everybody. Anyway, I found some articles that might be interesting, and first of all, they were focusing quite heavily now on the railways and railway research in general. Some were planning on the how to monitor and how to actually improve the viability of the railway network. This is the Plaza project, and they were trying to simulate a full day of operation. This is done in the German railway network, but this could be, of course, then extended to every other country and in the whole Europe. And interesting, they can simulate 40,000 trains that are running through the whole day in just a few minutes. So they can really run different scenario and what situation that can happen, the disruption in the service if something happens, all these kind of things. And surprisingly enough, there is no software or like really accessible software package that can do this until now, when they were just making it for this project. And well, of course, you know, this is kind of important for safety and also to operate the line as efficiently as possible. If you have a model to how the network reacts to different changes, then you can better plan everything that happens during the operation. So from this, they kind of move into other articles, always on the security, and this is also how do you maintain a track network. So if you consider how big the network is, now I don't really know precisely how many kilometers is total length of the network in the European Union, but it's pretty extensive, since a railway is pretty well developed in Europe, and it's quite used for both long distance travel and short travel in a more commuting environment. And there are projects, so this one, well, it's called AutoScan, that's the project, and what it does is basically scan and inspect the railway with an automated robot that just runs along the tracks, scans the tracks and all the infrastructure connected to that, and basically assess the status of the infrastructures. To use this, it uses an electromagnetic acoustic transducer, and basically what is this doing is to just trying to see the fatigue in the material, or how much stress, or how to say, the problematic defects that can arise, or cracks that then can come in both the sleepers that are this horizontal, usually made of wood or concrete piece that hold the two rails, and also the rail, they are made of metal, so they expand, contracts with temperature and the passage of the train, it's shocks all the time, so it affects of course the structural integrity of the materials. And this thing automatically go through the tracks and figure out where are the problems. And of course the robot then can scale up to have some sort of in-situ repair. If it's something small, you can just stop the robot, check better what's going on, maybe make some small fixes, and then the position is known. And when the maintenance needs to come, they don't need to just go through the old tracks and really check what's going on, since also this has some safety hazard, it's not just people walking alongside the truck, never know. This one is just automated robot, so that's totally fine, and the position of the problems are known very well. So this one was actually somehow interesting, because it's one of the things that I like about reading about all the research that is done in fields that are not my own or what I'm usually interested in, because it's something that you don't really know. Like, of course you know that the trucks are going to be checked by someone, but how that is done, I don't know, and it's something that doesn't really affect me directly. I know I pay for a service that is a train, and I get the service, but I never get behind that service. So this is it's a very interesting thing to know that also this kind of stuff. We have some numbers here. So, here you go. So there are more than 200,000 kilometers of tracks along among the whole Europe, and there has been, in 2015, a little bit more than 4,000 of those tracks were found. So there are 4,000 broken rails around Europe in the whole network found in a year. And using this automated robots could be really helpful to reduce the cost of this. This cost was around $2 billion for the 1 year. And even with the reduction of 15% that this project claims to have with this automation, it's pretty significant amount of money that are saved. Like, there are several hundreds of million. So this is actually something really, really nice. And something else that is, again, on the railway. This is the last one on railway, so hopefully this is not too boring for you. Some of you don't care about trains, but there is a company, this is actually in Italy, Green Rail, that is trying to make the sleepers that are, again, usually made of wood or concrete, make them smart. That's the new thing. But basically integrate some sort of power generation into the sleepers. Since you see the trucks, they are completely unused and left there for most of the time. Then the train passes for a very short time. So this is a place where, for example, solar panels could be integrated, and there would be power generation for basically the whole day, but the few minutes and a train is passing by. And also piezoelectric slippers, so some electric generation that it's created by this piezoelectric material, that what they do is basically convert a mechanical movement to an electricity. So it's material that when they are bent or stretched or any way there is some stress applied, they're gonna generate electricity, and this will be happening when the train passes by the tracks. So you can combine both. So it's producing electricity with solar panels during the day when the train is not passing, and still when the train is passing, still saving some of the energy from the train moving to maybe it's accumulating the energy there, or it's powering sensors. So this could be done again in the whole network. Doesn't need to be every single sleeper is gonna produce electricity. That might be viable. They are not really providing too much of the, of course, like there's a like private discussion, I guess, between the company and the track operators. But how much of the power is generated compared to the cost of the sleepers, because you need quite many of those. And if there are 200,000 kilometers, and probably you need one of these every meter, that's quite, it's more than 2 million of these sleepers to be changed. That's quite, for sure, quite a cost. So let's say that this could be operated in the sense that you have once in a while the smart sleepers that are integrated to the network. They can be powered by solar, piezo, or anyway be self-sufficient for power, and then have sensor that can track something that happens in the trucks, vibrations and all these kind of things that you can measure into the truck. And well, again, this is to improve safety, because it can be if some part of the network are vibrating in a way that's not supposed to when the train pass by, it's really hard to detect by anybody that is not really measuring the track at the moment. And maybe that could be prevent some accident that could happen if track has some failure when a train is passing by. So in this case could be kept measured and inspected continuously by this like automatic observation station that are again powered by basically free energy, either sun or piezo. So away from the train tracks, there are some few articles that are interesting for me. One of these is basically I just discovered there is a automatic system that makes home brewing beer. Again, completely automatic. So it's this company called Brewy, and the website is brewy.org, and it's based in Hungary. And what they say is that they are basically providing you with this magic box that is very simple equipment at the end, but everything is done automatically. So you just want to brew your beer, you can do it yourself, and that's many people do it, of course, but takes a long time, and also it's quite labor intensive in the way that you really have to mix all the ingredients and then boil them in water, stay there and check that everything is going properly, and then all the timings should be correct. And maybe in a house brewing, this might be part of the hobby. So if I want to brew my own beer, maybe I want to be involved in all the steps, because that's something I actually enjoy to do. And this is something actually we were thinking of doing. But then the other problem is that you need quite a lot of space for the equipment, and you need a dedicated place in the house to do it. You cannot just do it anywhere. There are some smells, and then all the ingredients. A lot of space is needed. Maybe you cannot really do it outside in a terrace, because the temperature might not be correct in the summer, or in the winter is completely different, even though in the north it's even more different. Like you can go minus 10 to plus 20, and it's hard to really keep a constant temperature. And inside the house, you don't really maybe want to brew inside the house. There is also a problem of space. So this one is a nice box. You can have it there. Everything is done automatically. But the nice part of this funding from the European Union that goes to this is more to apply this technology to a bit bigger scale, maybe on a restaurant level. So the restaurant can just buy this equipment and then they brew their own beer. And this is somehow interesting because beers, in general, the amount of beer that is consumed has been somehow going down. But then it depends also what kind of beer we are speaking about. Because big bulk produced beer, like this big producer, that is something that maybe people don't want to drink as much anymore. But then all these more breweries that are coming out in these years, that is really improving a lot. There's some statistic from the US where in the last 10 years, the market of homemade or craft brew beers, so the smaller breweries, went from the 2% to 20% of the market. This is in the US, but I guess that in Europe there are some figures that are somehow similar, and I guess everybody that enjoys a good beer has seen this trend going on when every country is basically going through this shift and more of this small brewery are coming on. And of course, if you think about it, every restaurant could have their own beer made on site. They make their own, and it's not only the consistent quality that is needed, but also the variety of the beer or the more specialized or particular beer they produce that is found in that place because they brew it themselves there. It will be somehow a shift in the way of doing things. And it could be really interesting, at least for the places that I personally know. Like in Finland, there is quite a strong and closed alcohol regulation. It will be quite a big change that restaurants will produce their own beer in there, because, well, usually in the past, they were big beer producer. You just buy, drink those, the beer is shit, but, well, that's beer, so fine. But now there is a shift on, hey, I'm going to drink a beer. I actually want maybe some decent beer, good beer. I go there to actually try the different beers. It's not only I go there to drink a beer. I go there to drink maybe specific beers I like or find new ones. And there is also some shift on the way people drink. Because, of course, if you just go out to drink some beers and then, well, you're going to get drunk at some point and you're not really enjoying the drinking part because just the beer is not good. So the point of that is ending up drinking. So the drinking is the point while you're there. But if you change and shift the focus on, I want to try new beer, I want to drink this beer because it tastes good. And we spoke about this also before when we had podcast episodes with the gin producers. That's what is coming on nowadays, where really people are appreciating more the drinking part for the quality of what they are drinking, and they're really trying to find a better drink, not to just get drunk, but to actually enjoy what you are drinking. So you drink less and you enjoy it more. And at the end, you don't have all the alcohol-related problems that you can cause if you just try to tax alcohol as much as possible, but then people want to drink the cheapest shit they can find because it's cheaper, and then they just do it to drink. So this went a little bit away from what the point was, but apparently this is the first fully automatic brewing machine that could be used in restaurants and places like that. So this was quite interesting for me, at least, because beer. I have two more. This is more on the material science, or industrial technology, how it's put over here. First of all, this one is metal joints. So I don't know how many of you are actually interesting in this, but welding is integral part of any metal related work. If you want to work with metal, if you want to have anything to do with metal to build something, you need to weld at some point, because some metals are very hard to work with. It's easier maybe to make a simple pieces that can just be weld together, or also it's a production problem at that point. It's easier to make one piece and then weld them together that they all full piece, or just the size, it's just not possible. And welding is not always possible with all materials. So some materials are naturally weld, some other are not. So in this article, they are trying to find something that is cheap and needs to be as strong as normal joints. But then also they are trying to substitute, for example, copper in many, many applications, one of the most useful material, but then it's rather heavy, then it's of course gonna be more and more expensive the more the time goes, because it's needed in the many sectors. So well, the more it's needed, the more it's gonna cost when the reserves are going down, and recycling of any material is never as good as it should be. So that's totally another discussion for later, but this is something that is gonna be a problem in the future. Like, metals are not, any material is not infinite. So what they want to do is to substitute the copper with the aluminium, and to do that you have a problem of the joints. So what they are developing is basically using electromagnetic fields to impact two pieces together. So what they just take these two pieces, somehow they angle them in the way they want to do it, that just smash them together as fast as possible, and this creates the joint. So there is no heat involved, and there is no traditional welding technique that has a lot of like stuff coming out. So it's basically there is no fumes and like smoke or pieces of material coming out. You don't really need much of the masking equipment, because it's just two pieces of metal smashing together. So the idea here is that you get all the energy stored in capacitors, and what the capacitor does is like accumulates electric charge and then releases very fast. So after you have all the electricity charge in the capacitors, you release it into a coil. At this point, you create a really strong magnetic field, and this field is pulsing and it's introducing somehow a current into the piece you're trying to move. Here there is going to be an interaction between the currents in the piece and the current that are generated in the coil, and this, of course, this is a very simplistic way, this accelerates the piece towards the other piece and impact it, and this acceleration is very fast in a short time, so the impact is very strong, and this creates this joint between the two metals really, really nicely. And this is not only aluminium, this can join different metals and different metal at the same time. This is also something that might be a problem in normal welding, that if you take two different metals and want to attach them together, they might have different melting point, and maybe it's not possible to really weld them together. This is something else that is somehow something that people don't think about. It's like, what do I care? But in an industrial level, it's all the small technologies that are coming, and it's like all small researches that are going on in all different places, and then the all total thing create the possibility of having better final piece. There can be anything, and somehow it's fascinating how much we see from the final product. Maybe you don't even see the final product itself, you see just something that is again used for something that we buy. But then there is huge behind the scenes that is going all the time and improving all the time and solving problems that maybe nobody thinks about. Like we need to really change this material for another material because cost is going to go up in 20 years, so we need to do something already now. And this kind of way of thinking that this is something that maybe I care a little bit too much since I'm a scientist, so that's somehow my job is to find new things before that are not been discovered before. So I have to think forward, and I have to think about problems that are a problem now and how we are going to solve them in 10, 20, 30 years. Because we do some research now, maybe it works, but from there to apply to anything, it's not going to be any easier maybe, or maybe it's not even possible now, but it's going to be possible in the future when 100 more discoveries are made and all the research together is combined to create something that was not possible before and is really needed maybe in the future. So that's something in a mentality that needs to change or should be considered more by everybody, that it's not just what you see, there is a lot of things behind. And when there's a discussion about we have to do certain things because people that know and have the technical knowledge, they say these are the things we need to do because that's what we can do at the moment. Maybe in the future we're going to do the things in a better way, but we cannot now. Or if we need something now that's going to really help in the future, we need to found it now. And that's something that European Union at least is doing, I think, quite well with all the big flagship project investing in research is several billions every year. It's a huge amount of money that is spent somehow for something that maybe is completely useless now. Maybe it teaches us something that we just know now and we're going to use later. Some stuff are going to be useful already not right now, and it's much more applied science that is really important. But then there's going to be the need of research that looks at the future and looks at something that maybe is not needed now. And maybe something is never going to be needed, but gives knowledge on the topic and brings forward then research in the future. So this is what happens when I'm here speaking alone. It just goes from some random stuff that I find around, and then it goes into this discussion that it's not even a discussion because it's just me speaking about different topics. So hopefully Johanna is gonna get better soon and we are gonna try to record more of those traditional episodes, and then we are also trying to get some more guests. Summer is coming, I hope we can keep it up, because in the summer it's gonna be, of course, everybody's on holiday, so, and everybody's on holiday, so they would like to listen to the podcast, but then podcasts are on holiday also, so let's see what's going on. Anyway, if you got this far to the podcast, well, you're really good and you really like to listen to my voice. That's, well, commendable, I would say. Hopefully this has been useful. Again, check if you can, inform yourself, check what is going on in Europe or where you live or everywhere in the world, in the research world. It gives you this small snippet of what's going on in all different things that you never think about. And why not, maybe you discover something that you're really interested in, and so like, oh wow, this railway things, it's really cool, and maybe you start checking those. It's when you never find something until you check. All right, so again, on Twitter at @stg_podcast, you can give me feedback for this episode. Please do. I really appreciate feedback that never comes, but hey, I'm there waiting. Any kind of feedback is nice. Until then, I need to do an hashtag. Hashtag research for the future. It's a long one, so you really need to be committed. All right, and I guess that's it for today, and have a nice afternoon, night, morning, whenever you listen to this. Bye-bye.